2009. I tried to use a phone that I thought might be better just before the show. I started dialing in, wasn't working. Don't know what's wrong, but I am stuck with terrible technology. It's wrecking my voice. I have to shout to be heard. Anyway, at 1 o'clock, Maureen Sherub, the queen bee of telephone sourcing, is going to be here. So call in then for some free telephone sourcing advice. Got to watch my, I got to talk down. Okay, I didn't remind myself. But anyway, yes, call in for Maureen Sherub. Do us a favor. Call in with your war stories. Call in with your questions. We won't bite. You don't even have to tell us your name. Just call in. As soon as the show gets to 1 o'clock, everybody disappears. And poor Maureen is offering one of the best deals online. Free advice. But it's good advice. I'll swear by it. Anyway, let me go on. Just something happened just before we got on the show. I'm sorry, Dave, my guest, is going to delay me a bit. I got a new Twitter friend. She signed up like a minute before I called in. Anyway, here's her bio. I'm an animal communicator. I'm an animal communicator. I love talking to animals. I have 3 cats, 2 dogs, 1 horse, and I'm becoming a Twitter-holic. Yeah, she's some Twitter-holic. She didn't even read who I was. I'm not the right guy for her. I'm a recruiter. I'm not an animal. Anyway, let me go on. I'm upset today. Last week, I was interviewed by the great Bill Vick of Extreme Recruiting TV. Now, Bill Vick has been interviewing recruiters for a very long time, and I look up to him. I really do. But he wasn't fair to me. He interviewed me, you know, he called me up. He said, come on for an interview, and everything was going okay. And then he asked me this question. He says, Animal, what have you learned about recruiting after having interviewed so many people on your show? Well, let me ask you, what kind of question is that? I just told a guy it's a show about nothingness. And this interview, I thought it was going to be about social media, not recruiting. I was stumped. I didn't know what to say. So, you know, I started listing the names of people who've been on the show. And after it was all over, I figured, hey, I'm going to send Bill an email. He's my buddy. I said, Bill, I think we should record that part over again. No answer. So I emailed him again. I said, Bill, you know, this isn't a live show. Are you trying to hurt me? Why can't we record it again? And no answer. So I said, Bill, you listen to me. I'm the question man, not the answer man. You take that section out of the show. Or mark my words, pal, I'm going to bring you a boatload of trouble. No answer again. I was getting really mad. But then somebody called me, and he's a good source, and he told me that on his front lawn, I'm so excited I can't talk right. On his front lawn, you know where the grass is? Bill Vick has a big American flag, and right beside it is a sign that says, this is the land of truth, justice, and no mercy. And you know what? Here in Canada, we aren't so rough. We want to be nice guys. But if I have to go south of the border and play with the big boys, especially in Texas where Bill is, I can live with that rule too. If I have to, I will. So here's a message to all my guests. You watch out, pals. Because thanks to Bill Vick, it's no more Mr. Nice Guy, no more social work on this show. If no mercy is good enough for Bill, who's done a million interviews, it's good enough for me too. Okay? So now I want to bring on today's guest. His name is Dave Graziano. And I only met Dave a few weeks ago. Then he called in to support Craig Fishdogs Fisher at fishdogs.com on the historic How to Recruit on Twitter show, which got the most hits of any recruiting animal show in the last 2 years. And now, in just a few short weeks of knowing me, Dave Graziano has reached the pinnacle of stardom by having his own spot on the Recruiting Animal Show! my music. You know, I said I wasn't going to use that again, but I did. Anyway, Dave, are you here?
How are you, Michael? Good morning. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Is somebody, you know, by the ocean? I can hear a lot of roaring there. Is that you, Dave?
No, I'm not that close to the ocean.
Who's playing that cartoon music in the background? I mean, we haven't even got started and I got problems. Hey, you guys, check it, will ya? I'm going to have to cut a bunch of people off again. Anyway, should I leave it on for a minute, Dave? What do you think? Can you hear it?
I think you leave it on. It gives us a nice soothing environment.
Yeah, okay, we'll try it, but I get distracted really easily. Now, Dave, just before the show...
Yeah, by the way.
Just before the show, somebody called me up, and we were talking about corporate recruiters, and she said to me, you know, those corporate recruiters, I'm really suffering today, you got to excuse me. They shouldn't even call themselves recruiters, and you know why she said that? She says because corporate recruiters can't go out and get an order and recruit people who don't come in from advertisements. Now, I want you to address that issue, but first... I want to get rid of this music. It's driving me crazy. Can you hold on a sec? I'm going to try putting these guys on mute. Okay. Hold on. Jerry, that's not you, right?
I would never do that to you, animal.
Okay,
ever.
Hold on there. Let's try 781. There he goes. It's gone. Let's open a couple of more lines, though. I'll get to everybody in a few minutes. You know, Dave, before you think about that question, I don't know if you heard it. The corporate recruiters aren't real recruiters. They're gutless. They only wait for people to come in through ads. They can't go out marketing candidates or sourcing candidates on their own. That was the accusation. I want you to address it, but first I want to do a public service announcement. I said I'm not a social worker, but I have friends, and one of them is Peggy McKee at phcconsulting.com. Now, Peggy... Hey, no coughing. Peggy has put out a job hunting program for salespeople. She's got a URL, but I don't like it. I don't think it's easy to remember. So just go and Google Peggy 306090. Peggy 306090, and you'll get her. And there's another guy here in Toronto named Michael Kalchman. He's a friend of JD's. I barely know the guy, but, you know, JD set up splits.org. For people who want to do splits via Twitter, meet other people who want to do splits as recruiters. Now, Michael, I don't know if it was with JD's permission or if he needs JD's permission, he set up a Twitter site called Biotech Splits. And I think the idea is everybody who's doing biotech recruiting who wants to do splits, they do hashtag, which is the number sign, Biotech Splits, and they meet up with other biotech recruiters who want to do biotech splits. Okay? So, have you been thinking about that question?
Sure have.
Dave, you
sure
still
have.
There?
Yep, still
okay,
here.
Okay, now hold on a sec. I just want to say one other thing before we get going. I was told that my show's not really accessible to young people, so I want to add some new vocabulary. If you want to say something is good, from now on, you just say it's deaf. And if you really like it, you say it's super deaf, okay? Dave?
Oh, yes.
I'm talking
sounds
to you.
Great.
You're the guest, okay?
So,
can everybody hear Dave? I can barely hear him. Okay, can everybody else hear him?
How's
yes.
This better?
Barely.
Okay, no, talk into the receiver, Dave, will you?
I
the
am
phone.
Talking into it.
It's the same phone
okay,
so, time before.
Okay, so tell us, are corporate recruiters real recruiters? You're a corporate recruiter, am I right about that,
yes,
Dave?
Yes, I have been a corporate recruiter, and I strongly disagree with that person's statement.
Well, you better talk louder if you want to strongly disagree, because you're barely disagreeing at this volume, okay?
I strongly disagree with that person's statement.
There we go. Come on. You can do it. Yes.
A good corporate recruiter today needs to be able to do all of the things that a person that works in an agency. I'm sorry?
Third-party recruiter, we'll call them.
Third-party recruiter needs to do. And it's even more paramount in today's market for a corporate recruiter to do those things. Corporate recruiter needs to understand the hiring manager's line of business in detail. The corporate recruiter needs to do everything he or she can to cultivate the relationship with the hiring manager to begin to build that also important trust. The corporate recruiter needs to become the trusted advisor of the hiring manager.
Yeah, okay, don't say the same thing five times and make it sound like 5 points, okay? We got that. You want to be a trusted advisor. If somebody cuts a corporate recruiter loose, can they work on their own?
It depends on the corporate recruiter's skill level.
Okay, let me just take that to the guests. Okay, I didn't plan on going there so soon, but I'm not satisfied with your answer. Let's see who's here. Dave, what's your area code? I won't ask you again.
Mine's 401.
You're 401?
Yeah.
817. You want to say hi to Dave and challenge him on that?
817's Jeff Lifshultz, and I would never challenge Dave. He is my guru. He is a brilliant man.
Did you pay
Thank
this
you,
guy?
Jeff.
Come on. That's not
No,
the
he didn't
way
pay me off.
Works.
I swear it. I've been talking with him for
okay,
weeks, too.
Okay, are you a corporate recruiter? I know you're not.
No, I work with fish dogs.
Yes, you're at alistsomething.com?
A-List Solutions. You got it. Good
A-List
memory.
Solutions. Okay, have you ever been a corporate recruiter, Dave? Cut the funny stuff, will you? Corporate
Dave?
Recruiter, you ever been?
You're talking to Dave or me?
I'm talking to you now. You all, I'm.
Well, you
I,
called
you
me Dave, animal. I'm easily
okay.
confused.
I'm sorry. Off, okay?
No, he didn't.
I'm going to cut you off. Have you ever been a corporate recruiter?
No, I have not.
Okay, we'll move on. You sit on the sidelines. Area code 718.
Hey, animal.
718. You want to say hi to Dave?
Hi, Dave.
Hello.
Who's this?
This is David Manister.
Dave Manister.
Oh, hi, David. How are you?
Area code. Okay.
How are
Dave?
You, David? Getting the big
Dave's
dogs
great.
In today.
You know, Dave Manister can't say. He can't answer that question because all his clientele are corporate recruiters. Okay, Dave, thanks for saying hi. We'll pass on. Jordy, if you want to say something, you're welcome. Go ahead.
That's all right.
Okay, you can pass. Area code 781, you can't say anything because you've got that stupid music on your line. You can just listen. Jerry, you want to comment?
Hi, Dave. It's Jerry.
How are you, Jerry?
Living the dream.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's
verbalsummary.com.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jer.
I'm just listening.
Okay, you're just listening. No comment. No comment.
I'm just trying to see how the conversation gets going.
Yeah, okay. Area code 520, you want to stick your neck out? 520, you know your area code? I'm calling on you. Okay, just sit there. Area code 773, want to say hi to Dave? You don't have to have a comment. I don't care if you don't want to say, you know, something nasty about corporate recruiters. 773, your big chance. No. Okay. Area code 617, you're the last person. Do you have anything to say? Want to lurk? I don't care. Okay, they got no guts. I don't know. I don't know enough about corporate recruiting, so I won't say. So the big thing is for you, Dave, that a corporate recruiter has to understand the hiring manager's line of business, establish himself or herself as a recruiter, as a trusted advisor, but they can't necessarily – hello? Come on. But they can't – but just this is the last point on this. A corporate recruiter, they depend on advertising. They can't go out and find people on their own. Is that true?
No, it is not true. Corporate recruiters can't go out and find people on their own.
You give me some proof where you've done it.
I've done it.
Where have you done it?
I've done it for American Power Conversion.
Okay, how? How do you go out and find source candidates?
The same way that I did when I was in the staff log world or in the permanent world, and the same way I am now. I used LinkedIn. I used Google. And I was not familiar with Twitter at the time. So I did not use Twitter, but I would have set up communities on Twitter in the sense that John Sumser just has written about what a recruiting community should be. I aggressively targeted a certain niche of candidates, very, very specific needs at APC. You need to be able to find a double E or an ME that has the capability of being a salesperson. Very challenging. As you guys all know, most engineers don't sell. Their personality does not lend themselves to sell. So we had some unique needs. LinkedIn was extremely helpful in me going out and finding a passive candidate, sourcing it there, and then aggressively recruiting it just as though I was in an agency environment.
A passive candidate is an it. I like that. Okay, but hold on a second. So you don't have to even comment on this. I didn't hear telephone sourcing mentioned in there at all. Did you hire any third-party recruiters?
No, I did
yes
not.
Yes or no? No, you did not. Okay. So you did all of your sourcing or primarily online. Is that right? Yes or no?
I did telephone source also. But primarily I went online and I generated the original candidate, and then I referred that candidate for other people by using
the
telephone.
Okay.
That's legit.
Now, listen, wait a second. One of Dave's big points that we're going to be getting to is that he's been in this business a long time before the Internet turned recruiters into, you know, sissies who couldn't do anything without social media. So I'm going to assume that you knew how to recruit people before the internet, in the 80s, you were a recruiter. Is that right?
Yeah, 1981. Ruse calling was how we used to generate names.
Okay, there's the answer. Okay, he could do it. Whoever asked me that question, I won't mention any names. Whoever made that statement, if you cut it. But actually, you are looking for a job right now. Is that right?
Yes, I am looking for work currently.
So let's mention your URL. It's David. It's http://davidgrazianostaffing.blogspot.com. Graziano
Correct.
Is G-R-A-Z, or Z as you guys say it, G-R-A-Z-I-A-N-O, staffing.blogspot. You should have a better URL than that, Dave, but I can't teach everybody, okay? Now, I got a problem. I put your name in LinkedIn into Google, and I get like a half a dozen other Dave or David Grazianos, but
yeah, there's
you.
A David. There's a David Graziano that's a restaurant entrepreneur in New York. There's also a David Graziano that works for Cisco. I'm mentioned four times on the first in the first ten searches on Google. At least I was 2 days ago when I checked.
Well,
it
I'm
last.
Wondering. You should ask Shally or somebody if there's a way to disambiguate you from these other guys.
I could use my middle initial.
Oh, forget that. Middle initials are garbage. Okay. Anybody else want to say something now that we've got Dave warmed up? No? Okay. Here's another 817. Want to say hi to Dave?
Hello.
Hi. Is this Fish Dogs?
It is. Dave, how you doing?
What's up, Craig? How are you today?
Doing
What's
great
up,
job, man.
Craig? Okay. Area code 317. Want to say hi to Dave? No. Okay.
What area code was that?
317. I don't know where it is. Area code 515. They're all coming in now. They're going to have missed. Anyone? 515. Want to say hi to Dave before we go on? No.
Iowa.
Okay. Iowa. Okay. Okay. Have you ever been to Iowa, Jerry?
All the time.
All the time. Okay. Now, Dave, what kind of job are you looking for? Tell us a bit about that.
I'm presently looking for something where I could mentor recruiters, train recruiters, work with people on integrating social media with full life cycle recruiting, get involved in more of a tactical solution rather than a strategic one. I do believe that the social media folks have done an outstanding job of laying out the social media framework for how recruiting should take place. My
really?
Question.
I thought you hated social media. Okay, let's put that to the side. Listen, I got a question for you about your background.
No, my question. Before you go there, let me make my point clear. I don't know what enables social media experts to expose.
Yeah, I'll get to that. I'm leading the show. Don't forget it.
Oh, well, I forgot
Bill
who show it was. I'm sorry.
Embarrass me now. You're not gonna. Okay,
I forgot
look,
who show it was. I'm sorry.
Look, on Twitter, you've got a picture of yourself like
yeah.
riding a wave. You're in a
yeah.
wetsuit, a bright
yeah.
yellow wetsuit, and your mouth
yeah.
is open wide, and you got some kind of bodyboard underneath you.
Yeah.
Like, is that something you're trying to tell us, something with that picture?
Yes, I am.
What is it?
That I'm a little bit outside the box, that I like to do adventurous things, that I'm willing to take a chance as long as there's some caution involved.
As long as you're not in the deep water, right? Because you're not
yeah,
in the deep
no
water.
Sharks, and there's no sharks around.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, out of the box, anybody who uses that term is like pulling the rug out from under them. It's
yeah.
just too hackneyed to really say that you're a maverick or something. In fact, there's, you know, I don't know how people can say they're different anymore. You know, expert is a hackneyed word. Everybody's an expert. Guru, it's also everybody's a guru. Everybody's a thought leader. Everybody's a visionary. I don't know how someone could sort of position themselves as different. Let's ask Dave Manister. Dave, do you have an answer for that?
Was there a question?
Yeah, okay. No, yeah, fine. Maybe
how about thrill seeker? People can position themselves as experts. Was there a question?
Expert is nobody believes the word expert anymore. They think it's all baloney. I mean, there's a lot of I got to tell you, what's-his-name had a big rant about it, the MN Headhunter. Can I read you something that he said? I thought he was kind of going nuts. He said, if I do not get things out of – he had a rant about experts and gurus slinging bullshit. He said, if I do not get things out of my head – at an early stage, they rattle around in my head, getting louder and louder, and then I blow up. You know what, Minnesota? Watch out for that guy. You don't want to say anything that's going to make him mad in an interview. That sounds scary. And then Lance Hahn, he's not the only one. Lance Hahn, who's a cool-headed young man, he says, I don't believe many of the recognized or self-proclaimed experts out there are really experts either. So there's tons of people dissing on the word expert or you know, maverick or guru. I don't know how anybody can, you know, sort of stick their head forward. If no one, if someone's got something to say, speak up now or think about it and tell us as we go on. Now, where were we? Hey, was that a super deaf discussion about it?
Yeah.
Forget it. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Look, so Dave, you're an adventurous guy. That's what your picture says. I happen to like that picture. Anybody want to see it? They can go to @DavidGraziano Twitter. That's his Twitter page. Now, you just said that you want
I'm
a job.
I'm on Dave's web page here, and I don't see
it
like it.
No, on his Twitter page.
Yeah, I know.
Twitter.com/DavidGraziano, okay? Open your eyes.
What I'm trying to say is I'm on his page.
Yeah.
He should have a link to his Twitter right there. I'm just saying instead
yeah,
of having to go
I gotta
over
tell
to
you
Twitter.
Something else, Dave.
Come on.
Yeah, Dave, you've got your link to LinkedIn way down on the page. I had a look for it. You know, that should be up near the top of the sidebar.
Yeah, I'm struggling here.
Yeah, I got to tell you, you need some social media advice from the likes of Jerry and me. Sorry.
I'm an expert.
Yeah, he's an expert. He's a guru. He is my guru, my social media guru. And I got to tell you, I took flack from that, Jerry. I got a big email that Jerry doesn't have a right to be my social media guru, but he is. Okay, you know what? Speaking of that, you want to be a mentor. There's two things I want to say, Dave. That, first of all, you are out of a job in an area of the country that is really depressed, Rhode Island, right?
Correct.
Okay, and here you are telling us that you want to be a recruiting mentor. Would you not take a job as a straight-ahead recruiter for the next year or so?
I'd take a job as a corporate recruiter, yes.
Okay, fine. There we go. But but since you said you are a mentor, and I know you've worked on training programs for recruiters, I want to tell you about a problem our friend Jerry Albright had. I think it was just yesterday. He was telling me about it. He had a candidate turn down a job. He got in the offer for the guy, and I've been reading these articles on recruitingblogs.com by our good friend Becky Metcalf and lots of comments by Pam Clotten about how you have to do a lot of trial closes, and it should never come to the situation where somebody actually turns something down. They should never get the offer even unless you know that they're going to accept it automatically. So what did Jerry do wrong? I want to know. Can you tell him?
Can I tell you what Jerry did wrong, or can Jerry tell you what Jerry thinks he did?
No, Jerry,
incorrect?
You know, you're the boss here. You're the guest. You've got to demonstrate your mentoring talents. You can talk to Jerry. Go ahead.
First thing I'd like to know with Jerry is what reason do you think the person turned it down? Where in the relationship, at what point in the relationship did you feel as though the candidate was slipping away? And how had you pre-closed him, and how it had been confirmed?
Well, something that came up between the first and the second interview was his boss, who had left like 6 months ago, thus creating twice the workload for this guy. His boss had decided to come back. So that kind of eliminated one of the main reasons that this guy was going to take a new job somewhere else. And so,
okay.
So his decisional criteria changed midstream.
Okay. Was that addressed with him?
Yeah.
Did you feel as though the candidate was being forthcoming with you? Jerry, look, you and I have communicated a little bit, and I know you're very direct, no BS guy. Did you lay it out to him and say, look, what does this mean in terms of us proceeding together? Are you still going to go after this job the way you were before the boss came back?
Yeah, I had that a similar type of discussion.
Okay.
Yeah, and what happened was, also when we got started with the recruiting process, you know, the salary range could have included an increase for this kid. Well, over the 2 or 3 weeks of the company interviewing, they found a whole bunch of qualified people in a $10,000 less targeted salary range.
Sure.
So that made them, instead of having to hire this kid at $65,000,
yep,
which would have probably been enough to cover the fact that his boss was coming back, et cetera, it turned
okay,
it into
so let's speed it up here. I can't
off.
Put everybody to sleep. Jerry, you
hey.
Had changes. You had changes coming up from
yep.
all sides, right?
Yep.
From the client side and the candidate side. Like you were – you know, yeah. in a ice floe that was falling apart. So
animal, he had changes that he could not control for. They were conditions in the sales analogy. They were conditions and not objections. Boss coming back,
yeah.
Candidate pool that'll take the same job for $10K less. So on the client side, all the hiring manager was looking at $10K less, and I can get what I perceive is the hiring
got
manager.
That already, Dave. Don't repeat it again. I want to speed the show up. For your sake as well as mine. Now, Liska, I have to be back here next week.
Hey,
I thought Dave
was doing a good job, and you shut
him
down.
Yeah, what's he doing? He's letting you whine. So the answer is very clear. This is just a shrug. Jerry, you got to take a $10,000 or $5,000 punch in the stomach. Dave, is that the answer, yes or no?
At this point, yes. But what can Jerry take away from this that will help him identify this in the future? Even someone as seasoned as Jerry, what can he learn from this?
I'll tell you.
Teller, how could he tell what was going to happen?
I'll tell you.
Okay, who's that?
This is 520. Jerry should have had a backup candidate, two or three of them.
Who's 520?
Paul.
Paul who?
Paul Grimshaw.
Hi, Paul.
Okay, Paul, shoot, go ahead.
I'm just telling you, he should have had backup candidates. He put them
Jerry,
all in one candidate.
Jerry, you got an enemy here. Come on, what do you say to that?
I'm always working on backup candidates, but at some point, your customers are going to offer one of them the job.
Doesn't matter. You still got to have that backup candidate.
Okay, fine. Does one guy, anybody else got a comment for Jerry? No. Okay, we're going to move on from that. You know, now there's something, here's another thing for a corporate recruiter. There's somebody told me that she had a candidate, and when it got near the offer stage, he told her all of a sudden, you know, she told him an offer's coming, that he had been borrowing his girlfriend's painkillers that were left over from her operation. And he was kind of worried at that point. He was going to have, like, a drug test, quite frankly. I've never had to have a candidate have a drug test. Maybe, you know, we're not strict about them here. But what do you do in a situation like that? Do you say it to a candidate in the first interview, do you smoke marijuana? Have you had any recently? I mean, because that obviously must have been the issue. Come on, Dave. What's the answer there?
Yeah, definitely. I definitely cover drug screen up front. Hello?
Somebody's got their dial tone going.
Okay.
Okay.
I definitely cover drug screens up front with people.
Really?
How do you do that? I do not ask them what their drug habits are, but I do say to them that this company does have a drug screen. I try to find out if I'm working as a third party, try to find out if it's 5-panel or a 10-panel, meaning they test for 5 different drugs or 10 different drugs, if it is a urine analysis or if it is urine and hair or just hair. I try to find that out, and I put that information out to the candidate. And I also tell them that if they're taking any prescription pharmaceuticals, when they go to get their drug screen, should an offer be made, take the list from your pharmacist with you and give it to the testing entity, because drug tests have been known to not be so reliable.
But this guy was taking, according to him, someone else's drugs, although I'm sure that wasn't a real problem. Have you ever had anybody drop out at that point? I mean,
yeah, I lost two people within 7 days of each other who I had the same drug screen test with. One tested positive for cocaine, the other one tested positive for heroin.
Did they strike out on the drug test? Does anybody drop out in the first interview as soon as you pose this drug?
No. I've never had anybody said that. I've always heard in some way, shape, or form, thank you very much for telling me.
Okay. Anybody else want to comment on that? I've never talked about it. I don't know anything about that stuff.
So, in Canada, they don't do this, huh?
There's a woman there who wants to talk. Who is it?
Hey, it's sales recruiter. Peggy McKee.
Hey, Peggy McKee. I just gave you a plug there. I don't like your URL, but Peggy306090 on Google, that'll take them to the right place. Okay, so what do you want to tell us about drugs, Peggy?
Well, I had a candidate who actually got an offer and then did the drug screen. In my area, medical sales, we expect that anyone will have to take a drug screen to join one of my companies. Now, I certainly have companies that don't do the test, but I just tell every candidate that they all do, and then that way I don't have to worry about making a mistake between who I told and who I didn't. But I had a candidate who took the drug test and failed it, I think, for Vicodin. was what it pulled up. And he had taken that. His family doctor had actually said he'd called his doctor. He wasn't sleeping or something. And the doctor said, hey, well, you know, do you have any blah, blah, blah? He said, yes. He said, well, take one of those. That'll blah, 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 do it. And so the guy takes it, and he goes to the drug screen, and they ask him if he'd taken any drugs. And because he didn't say that he had a doctor tell him to do that, and he could have proved it because the doctor actually had notes and everything, they denied him and rescinded the offer. But what was really cool was 6 months later, the hiring manager believed the story, believed the individual, came back and hired him exactly at 6 months, because that was the company policy, that if someone failed a drug screen, if they could come clean and, you know, on a six-month anniversary, then they could be considered for rehire.
Okay, but the point there is you confront people with this in the first meeting as well?
Yes, I do.
Does anyone drop out? Yes or no question? Anybody?
No. But
really,
I have,
maybe people just don't want to say, yeah, I'm a druggie, I'm taking recreational drugs. Nobody's going to admit that they are going to do it. Hold on one second. Go ahead.
I have one more comment, though. See, the issue isn't just recreational drugs, though, just like the Vicodin. I mean, we all have, you know, our leftover drugs from whenever we were this or that, and occasionally we tap on those. The issue is you can't tap those and not have a current prescription or a doctor's notice saying that you can without it being considered illicit drug use in terms of not appropriate for hire. So what I'm saying is I have Vicodin at home from previous blah, blah, blah. You know, if my shoulder hurts and I take it but I don't remember that and I go and do a urine test and they pull it up, then I'm up the creek because, one, it wasn't prescribed for what I used it for. Two, it's not
a recent prescription. Yeah, that's a side issue, Peggy. I want to see how the recruiters deal with it. So you told us, you looked the guy in the eye, and say, look, this is coming. You got a chance to get out now.
None of them are going to tell you they're bailing then.
Yeah, Animal,
okay.
Why do you look at this as confrontational? I mean,
because, you know, you're asking somebody if they're doing something illegal.
No, you're just letting them know that there is a drug screen.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody has a drug screen here.
No, okay, nobody's got it here that I've ever encountered.
Yeah,
it's
all in how it's framed. It's all in how you frame it with the candidate. It's not controversial.
As a side note, I had a recruiter on Top Echelon, I'm part of that network, who said that he had a candidate completely shave his body when he went in for a drug test because the urine test came back negative, the blood test came back negative, but if they'd have gotten any follicle at all, they would have known.
Huh.
And they would test for it.
Well, they must have had some suspicion something was wrong or that he had some kind of sexual kinkiness.
Okay. Mexican
Chihuahua.
Well,
competitive swimmer.
Yeah, Michael Phelps.
Let's move on from drugs, okay? Now Dave Graziano, before your time is gone, Dave.
Yes.
Dave, still there?
Okay. Yes, I was taking a sip of water.
Your education, you are a master of social work. Now,
counseling psychology.
Okay, isn't that like kryptonite for recruiters?
It does give one a heightened awareness of what's going on with the person you're talking to. Yes.
Oh, I meant, isn't it bad? It makes you too sensitive. You're not a social worker.
I say I'm professionally empathetic. I'm not too sensitive. I don't think I could survive 27 years in this business and been sensitive.
Okay, good. So I'm going to ask you another question. I'm glad you're not sensitive. What stupid nonsense? You never say candidate. It's always candidate partners, right?
Well, that's right.
She's
that's
a
right.
candidate. She's not my partner. Come on.
No. I want to emphasize the word partner because you want them to believe. You want them to believe in you as much as you want to believe in them, and you have to.
Does anybody else here think that's ridiculous? Come on,
lame.
Just say yes. You don't have to say who you are. Just say lame.
Lame.
Good. Anybody else got guts? Everybody doesn't want to have to say candidate partner. Candidate partner, candidate associate. She's a candidate. Why make it complicated? I won't belabor the point, okay? I just had to tell you that. Okay.
Appreciate the feedback.
Yeah.
That's a corporate recruiter for you.
We might as well call
you.
Our enemies our enemy friends, because sooner or later, we want to make peace with them. Oh, yeah, Mr. Aminajad, he's my enemy friend. Okay, next point. This is your big thing, social media baloney. I'm going to read some stuff. Jerry Albright said, what I have been watching over the past several years is an overwhelming focus on a very small part of our work, the identification of candidates and clients. Jerry, that's a ridiculous statement, first of all. But then Dave Graziano said, it's time we find out, he gave it a twist, what the social media experts actually do in the recruiting world. Do they ever pick up the phone? That's how you make a living in recruiting. And nothing is going to replace our skill to qualify the candidates and clients and close them. And then I'm almost done here. Steve Levy, Vin Dieselevy, he says, he's bragging, I'm very good at integrating social media into other processes, but social media doesn't make a hire. And let me see. Yeah, well, what's up with that? You just start talking. Go ahead, Dave.
People make the hire. It's my ability to understand what the candidate and what the client needs or what the hiring manager needs and put it together and point it out.
So what's the role of social media?
I'm sorry?
What's the role of social media? Because you billed yourself 10
okay.
minutes ago as a social media recruiting expert.
Okay. The role of social media is to develop relationships with people in specific niches that you're attempting to do business with. It's just another tool. It's the telephone on steroids. It's the,
okay.
it's the network. It's the special user group that's held once a week. For people that have a certain skill set where the recruiter used to go and participate in that. This is just one tool to generate potential candidates and potential clients. That's what it is.
Yeah,
what happens?
Don't say the same thing over and over again. Listen, I got to tell you something. I disagree with you and Jerry. I say sourcing is 90% of our job. So social media.
Oh, man.
Yes,
no, that's
sir.
Crap. Hold on. That's crap.
That's crap.
Sourcing is an equal part of our job. We need to be able to source or rely on a sourcing entity. We need to have qualified candidates that fit the basic requirement as we understand it. What you just said is total crap.
Okay, wait
total
a second.
Crap.
So what? Wait. What if sourcing? Then what percentage of the job is sourcing then?
You can't say it's 10%. You can't say it's 50%. You can say that when you start your search, sourcing is really important. After you generated however many candidates you think you need to generate from sourcing, let's just say 5 for the sake of the conversation, then you can stop. Then you can begin your interviewing mode, your pre-qualifying mode with those candidates, and determine if they fit. And then feed them along to the hiring manager. Get the feedback from the hiring manager. And if you struck out with all those candidates, then you start sourcing all over again. It's cyclical. There is no part that's more important than the other part, except collecting the check or the paycheck if you're in the corporate world.
Yeah, okay, I know you're wrong. Anybody, hold on a second. Let's give those two guys, the fish dogs and his buddy, Mr. Schultz, a chance. They're soft-spoken fellows. You got, but I know they're expert recruiters. You want to say anything, you guys?
Dave's right on that. Sourcing is a big part of what you got to do, but you got to have the soft skills to nurse a candidate along, hold their hand, tell them how to dress, get them ready for an interview, all that stuff. You can't do one without the other.
What's harder, finding candidates or telling someone to put on a clean shirt? Come on.
Depends
this
on the
is
job.
Jenny Devine. This is Jenny Devine. Why do we have to argue what is better than the other in our toolkit? Why do we have to argue if soft skills are better than hard skills, why sourcing is better than social media? Why is that even an argument? It's like the active versus passive argument. It's not
that's
important.
Exactly right.
Oh, no, it's not.
It's a straw man argument. Social media is going to replace the phone is a ridiculous concept.
No.
It is ridiculous. It's completely
is.
Ridiculous.
What,
I like having all the tools in my toolkit.
You know, this is Lipschultz. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah
go ahead, Dave.
Just one thing. I think that the reality is what kind of recruiter are you? If you're a recruiter who really partners with your candidate and tries to find the best candidate there is, you're going to spend the time, once you find them, you're going to spend the time to help them with their resume, to help them for the interview, do whatever it takes to make them successful. If you're the kind of recruiter who just goes out there and throws 100 people at your client, hoping that one of them fits, then you're going to use the social media. You're going to use all your tools in your arsenal to do that. I'm sorry to belabor the point, but is that Dave? What do you think?
If I gave you a chance, hold on. If I gave you a chance to hire somebody, and I said this person's going to bring in a lot of candidates, and this guy can coach them on how to dress, who would you hire? Please. Now,
no, you're right.
I also think. Just let me add this. that if you source the right people, you're not going to have to close them because you'll be sourcing the right people for the job. I don't know. Closing sounds like you got to
know. How do you know
really
what the right?
Fit.
How do you know
ask,
who the right?
Ask
candidate
Jerry about
is?
That.
But how do you know who the right candidate is? You know, David would tell you that he has to figure that out by not just sourcing them, but getting to know them, figuring out what makes them tick. And then you know they're right, and then you're right. Hopefully everything else works from there, that you can close naturally because it's the right person for the job.
Sourcing is like just bringing the raw materials into your manufacturing facility.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, it's the process. It's your professionalism. It's making presentations. Closing, that's our job.
Okay, yeah, fine. I just disagree. We don't have, like, Dave's
you
on. Give him a
wrong.
Chance.
Okay.
Give him a chance. Jerry, the guy's looking for a job. You know, we're trying to let him show his talents, okay?
And why
so,
did you
Dave,
throw in
want...
that such controversial statement?
Okay. Well, controversial statement, I want him to say something. Now, he doesn't disagree. He disagrees with me, and you guys have all given an explanation for him. He can add something. But first, I want you to listen to this tune. This has nothing to do with recruiting, but I just had a good idea about it. Just listen. We're going to start.
That's what I need.
Is that like from Flashdance? Is that from Flashdance or something?
No. I'll tell you in a second who it is. I'll tell you
is that another one
is.
Of your harlots?
Wouldn't
She's
that be a,
at least it's a closed harlot. Let's put it that
wouldn't
way.
Wouldn't that be a fantastic ad for prophylactics like Trojans or something like that? I need protection from your love. I mean, I got to tell you, that was Donna Summer and Bruce Springsteen. He wrote the song from 1981. I would revive her career. He could give his money to Al Gore or something like that.
Oh, my goodness.
I think it's great. That was very exciting. Nobody else.
Jump all over that. See, let us know how that works out.
Are you
going to
play with Brain Magic?
That's going to help
Dave. I need protection, baby, from your love. Okay, Dave. Now, you've got a couple of issues here really discussed heavily on your blog. It's metrics, the
yes.
kind of measurements that people should be doing. And the other one, though, is cold calling. And I'd like to start with that, and then if we have time, we'll get into metrics, okay?
Okay.
Now, you don't have to say everything 10 times. I understand it the first time. Just tell me once, okay? Now,
I'll do my best, animal.
Okay. Now, when you approach a candidate, you say, the first thing you say to the guy, it sounds like, why do you hate recruiters? So then you'll know what not to do. Is that right? Am I putting it right?
There is a certain amount of conversation that takes place before that, but yes, I do like asking the candidate what they don't like about working with recruiters. Yes.
How do you introduce that? Where does that come in the conversation?
When I feel comfortable that the person has bought into the sound of my voice, the choice of my words, the timing of my phone call.
Okay, so how do you initiate the cold call? What do you tell you? Walk us through your cold call process because you've thought about that a lot.
If I was calling you, I'd call you up and say, Mike, this is Dave Graziano, and I sourced your resume from blah, 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 blah. I noticed that you have a certain skill set. How are you today? Do you have a few minutes to chat?
Yeah.
Okay? And then you say either yes or no. You hang up the phone. You tell me to jump off a bridge, whatever it was. And then we start talking about, hey, how active are you in the market right now? Are you aggressively looking? Are you just kicking tires? What are you doing? Tell me about your job search. Where are you
okay,
in the
so
search?
Okay, so this is someone who's already searching. This isn't a
maybe, maybe
candidate.
Not. They could be passive. They could be passive.
Well, what if that that you just said gave us a line, which is a good line for someone who's hunting. What if you're calling someone who's not looking for a job, which is what I do 99% of the time?
Same line.
No,
where are you in your job search? Well, I'm not
but
looking.
He's not in a search. I'm not
okay.
searching. The guy would get
I would
started.
Ask him anyway. I'd get them to tell me why they weren't looking. They give
me. How would you pose that question? How would you pose that? Give us the exact words. Don't make me struggle.
You're a passive candidate.
Yeah, you
probably. Why aren't you? What would it take for you to be interested in pursuing a new opportunity?
Okay, give me an example. What would the guy say, maybe?
Guy would say more money, a different boss, new city, new company.
And what do you say?
What do I say?
What's a comeback? Why do you hate recruiters?
I probe whatever reasons with who, what, why, when, where, how. Question.
Will he
yeah.
usually will he usually give you an answer?
Yes.
Usually will.
Yes. Yeah. Usually they will. Yep. I would say better than half the time I get the answer. The other half the time I get I'm really not looking. Okay. Thank you very much for your time. Can you tell me someone who has a similar skill set that I might want to talk with?
Okay. And how we got the referral queen on here right now, Jenny Devon. If she's still Jenny, are you still here?
I'm here.
Okay.
Hi, Jenny. How are you?
Queen on this
I'm doing great, David. I'm so glad you're on the show today.
Come on. She's going to be your enemy in a second.
That's
so
okay.
If you're trying to get a referral from someone you just cold called, how successful are you? With that line, I don't think I'd get many referrals.
I don't think I'm going to get a far with that line.
Well,
I think
Dave,
I got to
do
a better job selling. I got to do a better job selling. And most of these passive candidates, I got to leave them a voicemail. I got to get them to call me back. You know, I've got to really sell on the front end. They're not
so
going to sit there on the phone with me and answer a bunch of questions.
Dave, what are your results on that line?
I would say that 50% of the time I get a referral, 50% of the time I do not.
50%? That's pretty good. That's fantastic, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And is it because of your nice way of talking to the guy when you're talking previously about his job search?
I think it has something to do with my whole approach and the level of confidence that comes through, yes.
He sounds pretty smooth.
He sounds
Jenny,
very direct.
Yeah.
No
business. Yeah, but Jenny is suspect and I'm suspect, okay? We won't drag it out. So let's keep walking through the cold call. Let's say somebody gives you his or her requirements that would make them want to move, and you have a pretty good hunch that doesn't fit your position or that you can't meet that salary.
Uh-huh.
What would you say?
First of all, I ask them how they determined that they were worth that kind of money. Let me get inside their thinking about that.
Do you use those words?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I'm very direct. I am very direct. I leave very little room for interpretation on the other end of the phone. I think one of the problems with our industry is that we spend too much time dancing around the issues and not enough time going at them directly.
Push
yeah.
a button.
Okay, so give us the step-by-step. First you get on, you introduce yourself.
Yeah.
If the person's a passive candidate, your first question is, you say, well, do you have time to talk? If the person says yes, it's what would it take to make you look at something else?
No,
it's
not
the right
first. That's
that?
Not the wrong.
Okay,
how are you today? How are you today? What's going on with you? You know, I'll pick
something. Well, you don't even know him. What's he going to tell you what's going on with me?
I've never had a problem getting people to start talking. If they can't talk, they'll say
example.
I can't.
Fill us in.
I am trying to.
Animal, there's an earnestness in his voice.
Why are you beating this guy up?
I'm not beating
him
up.
Animal, you want to go head-to-head on this? Wait a minute, everybody. Animal, you want to go head-to-head on this? Let's do it. I'll go head-to-head with you, but let me get my freaking point across to you. I love this challenge.
Okay.
I love this challenge. Don't do to me what Bill Vick did to you. Let's stay right on track. There is a certain amount of integrity that comes across in someone's voice, and I thank the people that heard it in mine. I don't muck around with them. I don't waste their time, and I tell them that early on.
I don't think Animal's questioning your integrity, but what I hear is an earnestness that would get me to listen to you. Animal, we've had this conversation about what's in a voice, and I think he's demonstrating it for us.
Okay,
thank
I want to hear his words, not the quality of his voice, okay? I'll be quiet. Just walk me.
Out.
You know what? Here, let me put it this way. When Craig Fisher was on last time, you were on with him, Carla Porter, and you walked everybody step by step through Twitter. Before this, the time's running out. I can't believe it. But I want you to walk us step by step through your cold call process. I'd like to hear that so a new recruiter could replicate it if they listen to the last 10 minutes of the show.
Okay. How are
you? Go ahead. Ding-a-ling-a-ling.
I'm sorry?
Hello?
Go ahead. I'm losing my audience with you guys. I'm shutting up. Go ahead.
Dave, the phone's ringing. Go ahead and the answer. Hello, this is
Hello?
Jeff.
Hello.
Craig. Craig's going to help
hey,
us.
This is...
Play off Craig. You recruit Craig.
Okay.
Craig,
hey, Craig, this is Dave Graziano. How are you today?
Hi, Dave. Who are you?
I am a recruiter, and I happen to come across your information from a search that I did on Google.
All right. Well, I'm not really looking for a job right now.
You're not? Have you been receiving a lot of phone calls from people asking if you have or not?
Oh, I always do, yeah.
Really? Okay. What kinds of things have you been hearing from those people?
Well, you know, people come at me with these big salaries, and
yeah.
You know, I'm just not really interested in that right now.
You're not really interested. If you were interested, if you could describe for me what would interest you, what three or four things might be in that would hold your interest?
Well, I'm really interested in helping humanity. It's not so much the money for me.
In helping humanity. Wow, that's a good one.
How do you alert. Bull.
How do you propose on doing that? And what kind of company where you would go to work for that would allow you to do that?
Well, you know, I've thought about people for the ethical treatment of animals, that sort of thing. Yeah, I'm into humans and animals both.
Okay. So you want to be in a place where you can help fellow mankind and perhaps animals along the way. What else would you be interested in?
Well, you know, I want a good work environment with lots of good-looking chicks around.
Okay, I can't control for that part, but you want to define for me operationally what you mean by a good working environment?
Well, sure. I just don't like to be micromanaged, you know.
Okay, so I hear that all the time. I know what it means to me. What does that mean to you?
Well, if somebody's on my butt all the time about metrics, then, for instance, that would kill me.
Okay, so measurement of your performance is an issue for you. Are you currently faced with that where you are now?
Well, you know, they let me do the bottom line thing. I'm a bottom line kind of guy.
I don't know what that means. You want to tell me what that means?
Well, you know, it's the results in the end, not so much how you get there for me.
Okay. So are you telling me that if a company has some very clearly defined processes and rules of engagement, standard operating procedures, that might duplicate where you are now, and that would be something you would not be interested in?
That's right.
Okay. So you'd like to be more than it sounds to me, and I may be overinterpreting at this stage of our relationship, but it sounds to me like you'd be interested in some type of entrepreneurial, humanitarian, altruistic, and I say that in a positive way, not sarcastic, altruistic type of company.
Perfect, with good-looking girls.
Okay, again, I can't control for that part. Okay.
Animal, would you say that David has engaged the potential candidate at this point?
Yeah, he's done pretty good with you. Okay, but when, well, Dave, when
just
you ask
pretty good,
hates,
just pretty
when
good.
When do you ask him if he hates recruiters? Is now the point?
Now I was building up to that. Yeah. Well, he started to tell me right in the front end. They throw big salaries at him. See, he said that he already gave me an answer to the question I didn't ask him. Think about how many recruiters we all know where I get a job and this job pays. Think about how many times in our collective careers we've heard that across the cubicle or in the office or something. I've heard it so many times I want to throw up. Literally.
That
turns my stomach.
That's not the way. Okay, so just continue the conversation. I want to hear how you pose that or deal with that recruiter issue.
Okay, now I would say, Craig, let me ask you a question. This one's really important to me because I like to get feedback about how I'm doing with people and how to avoid making mistakes. What is it that you do not like about working with recruiters?
Well, you know, they're just always hassling me about money, and you know, that's
yep.
just not really my issue. It's the girls, the humans, the animals. That's really where
okay.
I am.
Okay.
It's
again,
girls.
I can't control for the attractiveness of the women. I can help you define operationally, functionally, what you would like to do if you were to change positions. I can talk to you about an opportunity that I have that may or not be a fit, but my opportunity really doesn't matter. What matters to me right now is what the heck it is you think you'd be a fit for.
Well, that's interesting, Dave. Not very many people approach me like that.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
This is Lipschultz. I mean, if I was on the phone and dealing with recruiters, I might say to them, I just don't trust recruiters at all, period. I just don't.
Okay.
They're out to only take care of themselves,
yep.
not take care of me. So,
yep.
you know, Dave, it's nice talking to you, but I'm not big on working with recruiters. That bad
okay,
experience.
Okay, tell me what it is you don't trust about us.
Well,
by the way, I agree with you. I don't trust recruiters either.
you know, I just had bad experiences, and you know, every time I get in, you know, with one of these guys, it eventually turns into something where they're just trying to, they don't care about me, they just care about pushing my resume to somebody. They don't engage with me, so you know, what they say to me isn't what they do. There you go.
Okay, great. So they don't follow through. They don't back up what they say to you. I fully understand that. What do you think the best way for me to engage you would be?
Understand my needs, Dave. You got to understand my needs.
Okay, let's prioritize them. Give me the top three things give me your top three needs if you were to change positions or if you were to aggressively investigate the market. What are the top three things, separate from the girls, separate from the women, you would need to see?
It's got to be the micromanagement issue, helping humanity, and thirdly and remotely potentially helping animals or animals.
Okay, all right. This may be – I may be asking you a question prematurely, Craig, but if I can provide you with an opportunity where you can I can demonstrate that my client has those three things and I can have you talk to some folks at my client about those three things, would you then be interested in taking this to the next step? And, again, this might be premature for me to ask you this.
Well, if you could promise all those things, then I'd listen for sure.
I can't promise you those three things, but what I can do is I can have discussions with my client about your interests, and there's a good possibility I can engage someone from my client, from my hiring manager's team that can also talk with you about his experience at that organization.
Well, okay, what do we have to do for that? Can I send you my resume?
Okay, hold on. Let me just ask a question here before the time runs out because we're getting close. I can't believe it. But is someone going to talk to you that much without hearing anything about the position?
Exactly. Too much.
I don't seem to have a problem with it.
Okay, so clarify. Can I say something? Dave engages the person in advance of presenting the position. Yes or no?
Yes.
Really? Okay, and, geez, what else was I going to say? Okay, and is your goal, as part of your goal, you talk a lot about, we haven't got to it, pipeline generation, presumably, you know, to some extent through social media, so you've got a pool of candidates. If this person isn't interested in moving now, are you interested in using this kind of conversation to build a long-term relationship? Is that part of your goal, or are you just, you know, getting rid of this guy afterwards?
No, I'm not getting rid of the guy afterwards. I'm interested in building a relationship with that person.
Okay, Jenny. Jenny's still there?
I'm here.
Okay. Now that you heard the guy at work, and I have a, you know, it was make-believe, but I sort of got a feeling of what he might be like. You think he might have a little more success at the end of the conversation if he asks for a referral?
Yes, I do believe that because I like his follow-up questions. I like how he asks clarifying questions. He doesn't assume he knows what the candidate means or wants.
And I would add that he's building rapport with this person, so now they feel a little bit more obligated to actually respond to his request.
I mean, honestly, Animal, the first time I talked with Dave, I got on the phone with him for five. I only meant to be on the phone with him for about 5 or 10 minutes. I stayed on the phone with him for about 45.
Oh, you know this guy.
I
didn't know you had a conversation with him before.
Okay, oh, absolutely.
Maureen, let me just ask for some permission from Maureen. Can we go over another 5 minutes?
Sure, absolutely. This is
Jerry's got some stuff he wants to talk about on your show today. I just want to wrap up this with Dave. Dave, we didn't get to half the stuff. I don't know how. Someone must have been talking about. Yeah, it was all those guys with all the noise they were making on the. On the show before. So we talked about cold calls. Anything else that you have to get out in a burning way before we kick you off?
My question is, and this is based on just following the Twitter stream for the last three, since early January when I joined Twitter or became part of Twitter. How does if I'm a job seeker, how does my branding of myself and me making Twitter connections get me a job? Now, I realize that that's a very simple statement, and I said it simply for a reason. But there seems to be, and I could be wrong, and this is my interpretation, a purveyance of this magical thinking that if these certain steps are followed, laid out by social media people, in the job-seeking world, somehow you'll get a job. And I just have trouble understanding what that somehow is without doing the things that we just did together today.
You mean a job hunter has to get on the phone and engage a potential employer like you engaged this imaginary candidate?
That would be asking for a whole lot from the job seeker. I'm saying that maybe we need to turn our focus to identifying responsive clients, responsive hiring managers, actual people that have the jobs that want to work with us, where we can leverage this wonderful work that's being done by these social media folks in giving us all these great tools.
Just, we're wrapping up, so how do they get to those people if they're not making phone calls? Do you want them to identify them? I assume by research in a library or online, but there's nothing wrong with creating a website for yourself or a LinkedIn profile. What's missing? How do they make the contact with the person? What are you suggesting here?
Well, if someone is looking for a job, let's say they're a certain kind of structural engineer. If I was a structural engineer and I was looking for work, I would seek out every structural engineering recruiter I could find, and I would make contact with them.
Okay, so you'd work through the recruiters.
I'm sorry?
You'd work through the recruiters, not looking towards the hiring manager directly.
That's correct. Or I would try to leverage any relationship I had with anyone who did know the hiring manager directly, and try to catch the HM's attention that way.
Okay, we'll leave it at that. I'm sorry, we should have got to it earlier. I don't know how I went wrong on this show. It was Bill's fault. He just got me so worked up. I'm going to have to say thank you, Dave. You can stick around if you still want to talk to Maureen, because we're having the telephone show.
Everybody
thanks for calling
up in
for Dave. We're going to go right now. Thank you.
Cannon through the back window. Testify to the bus. But now I'm sucked up on that water. I'm a fast over the moon.
Hey, Maureen, not everybody
hey,
caught up yet.
I laugh every time.
They haven't left yet. Hey, catch
them
before they go.
Let's hang on to them.
There's still some people here.
Good.
Anybody want to say hi to Maureen or ask her a telephone sourcing question?
Hey,
or,
everyone.
Hi, Maureen.
Hey, Gretz. That's Jerry. He's got a question.
Cool.
Anybody else, though? Jerry has not. He's got a statement to make. Anybody else want to say something before we go to Jerry's statement? Okay,
is it militaristic, Jerry?
Jerry,
is it,
go
hey,
in.
Is it militaristic?
Go get her, Jerry.
Is it militaristic?
Maureen, Animal keeps talking over you. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. You're going to scare me?
No, I wasn't going to scare you, but I must say I had a demonstration of broad look.
Yeah?
That blew me away.
Mm-hmm.
I'm scared for you, Maureen.
Why are you scared?
Louder, Jerry. Talking to the phone.
Well,
will you?
I gotta say, if somebody had that, I mean, they would not need a sorcerer.
Okay, well, explain it. Explain what broad look demonstrated for you. I have, but go ahead and explain what broad look demonstrates for you.
Yeah, actually, tell it. Not everybody knows what it is. Go ahead, Jerry.
Well, From what I could tell, you can take any URL and get the names and titles and all other information about those people, about the people associated with that URL. That's just one of their tools. And I'm not a paid salesperson for the company.
Right.
I was just really struck by its excellence.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give us an example, Jerry?
Well, I mean, an example would be. You just pick any company, and through putting in your search terms the way that the guy showed it to me, you can get the entire list of everybody that's in there.
How?
Everybody that's in where?
In the company.
Everybody that's online, right?
It's
not everybody that's in the company. Make that distinction. It's an important one.
Now, hold on a second.
But it's enough to get
I'm
a phone sorcerer started.
I'm not here to debate their side. I'm just saying.
Oh, it's a great product.
It blew me away.
No, it's a great product.
Maureen, ask for some other people's opinion.
Does anyone else have experience with Broadlook?
Now, this is Dave. I have none. How does it get behind a firewall? That just popped into my head.
You know, through a series of calculations, I guess. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know
pretty,
that Broadlook would say they're getting behind firewalls. Would you, Jerry?
Well, I don't think that they're getting like it's just all information that's somehow available on the internet, and this thing just digs it all up and sticks it right in front of your face. It just shocked me.
What percentage of people do you think are on the internet?
Well, I think everybody has an email address.
You think that?
Maureen, kidding me? My grandma's got an email address.
I maintain.
Doesn't know how to check it, but she's got
okay.
one.
Okay.
I got it.
Okay.
No, everybody's name is on the internet somewhere with an email address, and it tied them all together. I'm not here to explain how their stuff worked. I just had a demo yesterday, and I was floored.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Maureen, if they can pull out everybody's email address somewhere online who's got an email address from a certain company, they could probably get quite a few people, although you still probably wouldn't know what they're doing in there.
Exactly. The issue
no,
is...
This showed their titles, their departments, their extensions.
Okay. Anything else to say about that? Maureen?
Do I have anything? I believe that less than 10% of the total working population is available on the internet, identifiable in a format that you can find them
mm-hmm.
online.
Mm-hmm. You need to up that percentage, Maureen.
Do you think so?
Yeah. Come on.
You know, Maureen, you've got Dave Graziano here as well. He's an experienced ruse caller.
Mm-hmm.
And I love phone sourcing. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I love it. I love all
Dave,
of it.
Dave, what
just
percentage?
I've automated a lot of this stuff.
Sure. Dave, what percentage of people of the working population do you think is on the internet in a format that you can find them, you know, put them together, name, title, association with company, in a format that you can use readily?
Oh, I think if it was 25, that would be a high number, Maureen.
I think it would be extremely high.
Yeah, I just don't. I mean, if the information is readily available on the internet, let's
mm-hmm.
just accept that premise for a moment. Does this function like a meta tag search engine or a super search engine of some type? It obviously automates some type of search string.
You know what? There's no point in speculating about Broadlook. You can just call them up for a search.
A demo. Okay.
Good point. I think the point is with Broadlook that Jerry said it's worth taking a look at the demo because he's an experienced recruiter and he was totally blown away. He works with IT people. Maybe those are the guys that were easiest to find online. And that's why, you know, he had the potential to be impressed. But there's no point in speculating. We can just go out and find it if we want. So I'm just thinking, Maureen, as long as you've got Dave Graziano, the famous Dave Graziano now, here, you might want to ask him. You know,
Dave, you ruse call?
I'm sorry?
Animal said that you ruse call. Do you ruse call?
I haven't in a long time, but I used
okay.
to do a lot of it, yeah.
But
yeah.
But he's got figures. On his LinkedIn profile, Maureen,
mm-hmm.
he's got figures about his success rate with recruiting. He might as well put those figures out to you. Maybe one you want to ask him how he sourced those numbers.
Okay.
Dave,
okay.
what was it, like in 18 months you recruited, what,
90 IT staff aug people.
Mm. Yeah, and staff aug, I don't know exactly what that is. Is it the same as
contractors, contract labor. Contract
okay.
labor.
Is that a good number?
In 18 months, 90 people? It wasn't too bad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, Jerry, is that good? You're a contract guy.
Yeah, that seems all right. I mean, I have a perspective of a third-party agency person, so to me that'd be undoable.
Uh-huh.
Jerry, you'd be right.
Maureen, where I'm going with this, Maureen, is maybe you'd like to find out how he sources that many people and get for hires.
Go ahead.
Hireable people.
Dave, how do you source that many people in that short of time span?
Well, we were working.
Do you do it yourself?
I had a research assistant that was helping me.
Okay.
Okay.
That's
but
a big that's a big help, isn't it?
Yes, it is a huge amount of help because they can run multiple searches. They can be poking their nose. This was in 97 through 99. We didn't have the sophisticated tools that we have today. Okay. But we did have access to a lot of email addresses in certain niches for certain types of talent. We also we were also fortunate enough to strike up some very strong relationships with alumni associations of universities in the greater St. Louis area, and they fed us a lot of people that had 18 months to 2 years of experience in the emergent web technologies at the time.
Mm-hmm.
We also were doing a lot of work in one specific niche, something called Data Link software, which was mortgage processing software. And I literally knew every Data Link programmer in the country, because if you remember what happened from 92 to about 96, many of the big banks were all purchased by B of A and by Citibank. And when those banks' mortgages were also purchased, they had to move them to the buying bank. It was very easy to I hate to use the phrase cherry pick, but I will. It was very easy to cherry pick those Data Link programmers to come and work for us. We had a 5-year project with the Fleet Real Estate Funding Group, which is now Bank of America.
Yeah, but you're not telling her. So far, the only really good sourcing technique. Maureen, can I butt in?
Go ahead.
The only good, the only sourcing technique he's told us so far is if you're in a niche, establish a relationship with some kind of relevant organization. And the other one is you didn't tell us where you got all those email addresses to begin with. So that means like,
We started experimenting with asterisk@companydomainname.com to generate email addresses.
Well, you got them yourself. You didn't just get them from some organization.
No, we didn't buy a list. No, we did not buy a list. We didn't do that. We got them ourselves. Yeah.
Right, you do that? I do that sometimes. I check email addresses on Google with a company suffix.
Do I do it?
Yeah.
I have done it. It's not part of my regular practice, but, yeah, sure, I've done it. Dave, once you had those email addresses and you had live, you knew there were live bodies inside, did you use that information to go inside and gather their coworkers?
Oh, definitely.
On the phone? You had somebody
definitely
doing that for you?
Yeah, I did a lot of it. Yeah.
You did a lot of it yourself?
I did a lot
different
of it.
Things. You might mean different things by that.
No, I know what she means.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know what she means.
Was that a difficult process?
I did. I'm sorry?
Was that a difficult process?
It was tedious. Worked a lot of hours. Worked a lot of Saturday mornings and Sunday evenings.
What would you find on Saturday mornings and Sunday evenings?
I would do everything I could good to get people's home phone numbers.
Okay. So you were working?
We were working a lot. Yeah.
But were you calling into those companies on weekends?
We were calling people at home on the weekends.
We would call
directory assistants, or we would do telephone number lookups, whatever primitive tools we had.
During the week you were getting their names, and then on the weekends you were contacting
them? We were doing both. We were calling them at home and calling into the company.
Okay.
We were doing both,
When you called into the company on the weekends, what did you find?
We would usually find a lot of support folks there.
Mm-hmm.
The developers were not there unless a project was falling apart and they had a deadline that had to be met.
And the support people were helpful.
Well, support people love to talk.
Sorry, can I interrupt again?
Go ahead.
There's a number of people here who might have just called in for you. If somebody's got a question for Maureen, here's your chance.
Does anybody have a question, a phone sourcing question? But they might have a question for Dave. What he's talking about is
really
interesting.
If somebody's got a telephone sourcing question or any kind of sourcing question, if you're waiting for a break, now's your chance to come forward. Don't just give them 5 seconds. Time's up. But speak up anytime you get the guy to talk.
Dave, tell me how the support people were helpful.
Well, the support people always knew the developers, right?
Right.
They know the developers because they have to talk to the developers.
And how would you ask a support person to tell you who the developers were?
This ties into the conversation we had during my interview in role play with Craig, but using much of the similar techniques and approaches we use there, I tell somebody, that, hey, look, I need your help. I'm working on something. Can you help me? It's
mm-hmm.
okay if you can't, but can
right.
you help me?
Okay,
you know?
So you told him you were working on a recruiting project?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay, cool.
Definitely told him that. Hey,
I'm always intrigued by that approach.
I'm sorry?
I'm always intrigued by that approach. It's not one I use.
Years ago, I used to tell people I was a graduate student and I was doing research on a particular project, and who did they know that was knowledgeable in that project?
And that was probably all true, because years ago you were a graduate student, right?
Not at the time I was asking
before.
That question. But,
okay.
Yeah, but once upon a time,
I thought you meant 28 years ago.
There's been a lot of Bud Light since then, Maureen. I don't know.
It's all
fuzzy, especially after the animal work over. It's all fuzzy in my mind right now.
your brain is mush.
Jokes. Come on, there's people trying to get some information out of you guys.
Okay.
Well, we're trying to have fun and share the information at the same
time.
Yeah,
so you would tell them that you're working on a project and can they help you? Okay. And what was their reaction? Audience, Dave, thinks that when you call in and talk to people like this, that there's something wrong with asking for information.
Oh, well, then, yeah, that's the tough part to teach. There's nothing. All I can
how
say
do you
is
get,
this.
How do you teach that? How do you get that over? I call it stinking thinking. How do you get over the stinking thinking in people's attitude?
When you're training, when the person is being trained, a senior level person has to sit right with them and
mm-hmm.
walk them through the process and model the process.
Demonstrate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Actually, model the process.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Let's model the process for them.
Let's model the process for
them. I'm calling in, and you're a support person, and I say,
okay.
Hi, this is Maureen Sherub. I'm working on a project.
Okay.
I'm hoping you can help me. It's okay if you can't, but can you tell me who the developers are on such and such?
Hang on a minute. Why do you need to know this information again?
Okay. Well, I'm working on a project, and I would like to talk to them to ask them some questions.
Okay. What type of questions... How did you get my name?
I called in and asked to be connected to the support department, and here I am.
Okay, so that's how, cool. And so you want to know, what is it you want to know again?
I'd like to know who the developers are on X and Y project.
Okay.
So that I can call them on Monday.
Okay, I can give you the project manager's name. Would that be
helpful?
That'd
be great. Who's that?
Jerry Albright.
Okay, and do you know Jerry's extension number, just in case, so I can call him direct?
Same number you reached me on, 256.
Okay, you're at 254, right?
Okay, I think that's what it is.
Because they transferred me.
Yeah, I think that's what it is, yeah.
Okay, 254. Okay, so 256, sure, I'll give Jerry a call. In case I can't reach Jerry on Monday, who else is
next? By the way, don't mention my name.
Oh, don't worry, I won't. In case I can't reach Jerry... on Monday. Is there anybody else in that group I might try?
You might want to try Susie Graziano.
Okay. All right. She's one of the developers?
No, actually, Susie works with Jerry, and I'm not quite sure what she does.
Is she like the admin for the department?
No, she does more of the... I think she helps him with the project plans.
Okay.
I think she... I know she spends a lot of time... with the PERC and Gantt charts, and she does a lot of whiteboard stuff for them.
Okay, so she's like a coordinator.
You might call her that. Yeah, I'm not. I don't know her title. I just know that everybody likes working with her.
Okay. Do you know her extension?
259.
259. Okay. All right. That should do it. Let me think. Before I go, just in case neither one of them I can reach. Anybody else comes to mind real quick?
There's this real goofy developer. He doesn't seem to shower very much, and he's got real thick glasses, and he kind of.
I hope
lives,
you don't have to sit next to him.
No, yeah, he kind of wears these funny hats to work sometimes, and I'm not sure his last name, but his first name's Michael. You may want to give him a call.
Michael, okay, all right. You wouldn't happen to know his extension?
I think it's 300.
Okay.
Because he always says, I'm Michael from 300.
Okay, Michael from 300. Isn't there a TV show about that? Something like that?
There was the movie 300.
Okay. Who's the manager for the group? Do you know?
Yeah, the manager for the group is John Dominic.
Okay.
He's the vice president. He's the vice president. Yeah.
Oh, he's the VP. Okay, and they all report up to him?
Yeah.
Do they report directly to him?
I think so.
Okay.
I think my boss reports to him, yeah.
Okay. Listen, you've been a big help. I really appreciate it. Anything else? Anybody else come to mind real quick?
My boss, Denny Fountain.
Denny Fountain, okay. He's in charge of support?
Yeah, he runs support. Yep.
Is he a developer too?
Nope, he's a support guy. I think he came out of operations.
Okay, what's his
And then
extension?
Moved into support. He's been around a long time. He's a really good guy. Knows a lot of people.
Okay, great. Do you know his extension? Yeah, of course you do.
Yeah, 253. He sits right next to me. And he's the reason I'm here this Saturday morning.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's not your fault. It's his.
He's not there, is he?
Yeah, he's here.
Is he? Okay.
Oh, yeah, he's here. He can hear me.
He comes in when you guys come in.
Yeah, he can hear me. I don't care if he hears me.
You have a big group?
There's about 15 of us,
Ooh,
and we all support.
In
we all
support.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, 15.
That
some people support the word processing app. Some people support the email app, and some of us some do the support for the application itself.
Okay. Is the development group a big group?
New development. I think there's about 8.
Okay.
And then there's probably 4 in the maintenance group.
Okay.
So we're not that big of a shop.
All right.
Let me ask a question before you guys go on forever, okay? Number one, when he's
Are you
support,
bored? Animal, are you
I'm
bored?
Not, it's interesting. I mean, I find it interesting. I can hear with the kind of questions you ask. You're demonstrating it. First of all, you know, I wouldn't check this guy, Dave. I mean, if you recruit a guy like that, you better check him for drugs. He's like, I can't imagine why he'd be talking to you this long, giving you all that information.
They do it all the time, Animal.
Nobody talks to these people.
That's right. Nobody talks to them.
Except
nobody.
To bitch at them.
Yeah.
So when they hear especially a friendly woman's voice, guy on a Saturday morning.
Are you kidding
me? You got the Holy Grail.
That's right.
Baby, you struck pay dirt. You kidding me?
Dave, do you know what an Abu Danza is? You do it.
Yes.
Yeah. It's an Abu Danza of information, isn't it?
Abu
Danza?
I don't speak Italian. My name
and
is
this is very. Tell him what an Abu Danza is, Dave.
The mother load.
The mother load.
The mother load.
Waterfall.
Well, what? You got somebody, you have a recruiter friendly person. You think I'm stupid? You think the support person is stupid?
What's a support person? Who are we talking about? Like what, an admin person?
Support person? Yeah, they would help. Do you know what help desk is in the IT world, Mike? Michael?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what they are. They sit.
So you're talking to the help desk people right now.
Yeah, a support person would be a help desk person.
So you got those people from their names on Google. Maureen, how would you get those people?
How would I get what people? He just gave them to me.
The support people.
I would call in what I told him I did and ask for support. And they send
support.
Me to support. And then Dave answers and, you know, I've got him on the line and this is what happens. Dave, how common is this? The exchange we just had, how common is it?
How uncommon is it? It's easy
exactly.
to answer. Happens all the time.
That's right. It happens all the time.
It's like in the old. Is Jerry Albright still on the phone?
No.
Oh, okay. Is there any IT people out on the phone?
There's 817. I think that's ATL Solutions 972 and 248.
Okay. It's like in the old days when you used to talk to Unix programmers. kernel hackers, the guys that actually mess with the operating system, no one ever calls them.
There's citizens on the call, Dave.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. I'm old. But no one ever talks to them. No one ever asks, in today's parlance in IT, no one asks them what Struts really does in Java. If you ask that question, they're going to think that you really know what you're talking about. I have trouble spelling Struts, but I know to ask that question when I'm talking to Java people. And they'll open kimono is the expression. They'll start talking to you. And then they can say, who's the best guy with agile methodology in your shop? I keep going back to IT with technical sales.
Thought about a Bing, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll go to technical sales, the sales engineers. Okay, who do you know who knows the most about power? Who can articulate the physics of power and cooling in the data center the best out of all the sales engineers you know? Who's the best HVAC guy for the data center that you know? You know? Can they answer this question? And I had a list of questions with the answers written down in front of me. Can you answer these questions? And through the questioning process, like Maureen did with me, she was knowledgeable, she was warm, she was cordial, professional. You build the credibility, and these people start downloading this information to you faster than you can write it down on your notepad.
Okay. Maureen, you agree with them, yes or no? Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay.
He and I are cut from the same cloth.
Mosaic.
Are you a believer yet,
Animal? You got 2 minutes left.
Are you a believer?
You got 2 minutes left.
Are you a believer yet?
No. Okay.
No.
Michael, what do you actually recruit?
See the work.
What?
See the work I have to do.
I'm not the person to ask the question. It's her show. She's asking you.
Okay. Maureen, would you ask Michael what he actually recruits, please?
He recruits
right
across.
Right now, I told you I'm recruiting salespeople.
Okay. Is it for any one specific niche?
Yeah, I need people ideally with office equipment backgrounds or uniforms or, what's the other kind of thing they want? Industrial sales.
Okay. I mean, there's a ton of user groups for that kind of stuff.
Well, there isn't.
There's not? Well, there is in the States. Now, and I excuse my cultural ignorance, maybe not in your part of the world. But down here, there's all sorts of stuff like that.
User groups also, for sales reps?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, well, you have to show me.
LinkedIn. Do a search on groups and see what happens.
Okay.
Search the group section of LinkedIn. Put a hashtag on I know this one may surprise you, but put a hashtag on something you're looking for on Twitter and see what comes up.
Mm-hmm.
Google it. You know, Google it. I got a search string. I'll send to you. I'll email it to you.
Say one thing with that. I did a big search on LinkedIn. There are a lot of sales reps with office equipment background. My surprise, and the time's running out, Maureen, the last thing is going to be said, is that these people, these records on LinkedIn, I should have known, they're really dated. Tons of the people who I got are no longer
becoming more
companies.
Dated as we speak.
Yes.
I was hoping
Jerry was still on because I wanted to tell him thank you for being concerned, but he doesn't need to be. Not
about
on my
Broadlook.
Part. What?
Okay.
About Broadlook.
About Broadlook.
I mean, it's a great product, but it's a good place for phone sources to start if that's how they want to use it. But there's, it's the tip of an iceberg. It uncovers the tip of an iceberg. Most of it, 90% of it is underwater.
Yeah, and underwater, you need to put on the scuba gear and go down there and get it.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, that's where we came in. We should depart there. Dave's in his wetsuit again.
Okay.
And thank you,
thanks.
Dave. Everybody who called in, Maureen.
Thank you.
See you later. See you next time.
Nice meeting you finally, Maureen,
you too,
by the way.
You too, Dave.
Nice meeting you. Animal, thank you very much. It was fun.
Bye, Dave.
Bye.